Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living. You're listening now to the Honest to God series with Anne Gail Rose and Ahanu.
Well, good morning, everybody, on this beautiful Saturday in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And for the first time, Ahanu, I have to report that I cannot say it's an entirely beautiful weather. We had rain last night. It's a little misty this morning, a little cool. But I have to say, the birds still are singing and the flowers are blooming.
What a dawn chorus it was this morning, about 4:30, almost 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was endless. And last week we had fun with this because we had all our windows and doors open and the birds were making such a racket. I mean, it wasn't something we could complain about, but it was background noise while we were trying to host our radio show.
I know, it was great. So let's get right to it. Today we have two wonderful guests, Susan Miller Madley and Philip Madley. We'll be bringing them on in just a few minutes after our announcements. But what a powerhouse of a show we're going to have today.
I'm really looking forward to it. And before we go there to speak to them, I want to just throw back to last week's show, because we had a gentleman from Ireland on, Michael Murray. And wasn't he so inspiring? We had so much positive feedback from that show.
It was great. Yeah, he spoke to us about his spiritual journey and his four near-death experiences and how he ended up studying The Course in Miracles, and is one of the main advocates for A Course in Miracles now in Ireland. And he'll be having the first national conference for The Course in Miracles in May this year. So he was absolutely very, very interesting. He had us sitting on the edge of our seats, and he had a way of pulling The Course in Miracles together for understanding that was very clear and direct, so you really didn't miss the point.
That's right. And I was particularly impressed with the four near-death experiences. And if any of our listeners want to hear that show, they can just look up the blogtalkradio.com/Art of Living Well. And you'll find us under the Honest to God series. And if you look up the particular episode for Michael Murray, the
24th.
Date of that was the 24th of March. Now, I want to mention just briefly, too, another Irishman that was on, and as I said last week, this is not the trend, because as it turns out, we actually do have an Englishman on our show today, Philip Madley, but we'll come to him in just a few moments. Kevin O'Kelly was on St. Patrick's Day, and he is our tour guide for the Mystical and Sacred Sites Tour of Ireland that we're doing from the 9th to the 21st of June. And that promises to be a very, very exciting and memorable trip. We'll be visiting all the sacred sites of Ireland. We'll be visiting the fairy raths. We're going to have some what we call a hooly, basic traditional Irish music, and we'll be seeing fairies and dancing at street corners and doing all sorts of great stuff.
Yes, they won't forget our arrival, will they?
They will not forget our arrival.
They'll be looking forward to our departure.
I better call security ahead of time and notify them that we have a bunch of Americans coming over to take over Ireland for that 12 days. If anybody wants to find out more information about that, you can please visit Mystical Ireland. That's all one word. MysticalIreland.holistic. That's holistic.ie. So the complete URL is mysticalireland.holistic.ie.
All right, and we just want to remind our listeners today, if anyone would like to call in today, it's 805-292-0349. That's 805-292-0349. And I'm sure Philip and Susan would be happy to answer any of your questions that you may have if you decide to call in. And also, we just want to remind you that every Tuesday we have our free tarot show where people can call in and ask one free question. And that phone number is 323-679-0902. And that show is on Tuesdays at noon Eastern Standard Time. We better not waste any more time, Ahanu. We better get right to it.
I want to introduce both Susan and Philip Madley right now. Susan has a master in clinical psychology, and she's also a master of vegan food live nutrition. And Philip is a bachelor of science in environmental management and also an MA in vegan live food nutrition. They dedicated their lives to vibrant living and the body power that can be experienced by eating whole organic living plant-based nutrition supported with superfoods. As long-term live food vegans, the Madeleys manifest their life purpose by bringing passion, knowledge, and experience to everyone who chooses to achieve the best health ever.
And I just want to interject there that Susan is my raw food coach, and she's absolutely amazing. So I just had to stick that.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say about live food and what is the meaning of live food. I mean, to me, it's, you know, like a fish that's still alive, for example, that you're eating. But in fact, it's probably just mostly vegetables.
Plant-based food.
We'll find out all about that in a few minutes. But this live food nutrition permeates their careers, both spending 10 years immersed with Dr. Gabriel Cousins at the Tree of Life, a holistic healing center community, supporting and educating patients, rejuvenation with clients and students from around the world. And this experience, combined with their own in-depth studies and formal education, allows both Susan and Philip to bring significant knowledge in many areas of health and nutrition to their clients, including whole body detoxification. Wow, don't we all need that? Mm-hmm. Fasting and inner cleansing.
Absolutely.
Live food preparation.
Well, may need it. I don't.
I know, Angel Rose, in your purity and in your perfection. They also teach this whole principle to children. They teach about vegan pregnancies, herbs, supplements and superfoods, healthy weight balancing, nutritionally sound water and food compositions, and of course diabetes support. Now, we also know that Philip currently works with Dr. James Sheridan at Health Force Nutritionals, where they create world-class therapeutic superfood formulations.
And we would know because we've been using those products for about 3 years now.
That's right. And the flagship of that product that many people will be aware of is Vitamineral Green. Susan, of course, works as a professional life coach. She does that in person, by telephone, and by Skype with families and clients throughout the world. And Susan and Philip, they actually walk their talk. This is one of the things I admire about them, because it's not just theory with them. They actually live the lifestyle. They breathe a vibrantly healthy, inspirational lifestyle. And they keep up to date with the leading nutritional live food health experts in the world by attending lectures and workshops with such experts as like David Wolfe, John Robbins, Brian Clement, Victor Ascull, Vince Cass, and other European experts. Now, they still study while living this. And in 2011, they earned their master's degree in vegan and live food nutrition from Gabriel Cousins' master's degree program. And that culminated in a massive project of over 100 vegans. Imagine having 100 vegans together to show that it is possible to have a healthy vegan pregnancy and that vegan children are in equal or better health than mainstream children.
I would imagine they would be.
We need to put this out to a huge audience. This study examined what is needed to have a healthy diet for vegan families. And this diet included a study of breastfeeding and live food vegan milk replacements for traditional baby formula. We got to ask them about that in a few moments. Philip and Susan, they love people. They're particularly interested in bringing good health to the youngest of them through their parents. And Susan has been a vegetarian for 40 years and became a live food vegan 12 years ago. And Philip has been eating an exclusive plant-based raw diet for over 14 years. I am so impressed. I don't know what to say. Let's bring Susan and Philip. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, you guys.
What a biography. What an introduction is that?
Philip said he wants to listen to this amazing show. I told him he's got to talk.
Yes, Philip. Hello. Are you there, Philip?
I'm here.
Oh, good. I was wondering where you might. I thought you might have been taken off to England or something.
Yes, Philip. You're the first Englishman we've had on this show. You've been preceded by two Irishmen, so you've a hard act to follow.
Well, I'm still here right now. I did go home for Christmas and had a wonderful vegan live food Christmas lunch with my family. So that was wonderful.
You did. And it's a pleasure to hear that fine English accent. It's a beauty to listen to. And now, we want you to bring to us your knowledge and experience as a Bachelor of Science of Environmental Management and all your knowledge about the vegan live food nutrition.
Yeah, so Philip, let's start with you telling us how you became a live food vegan.
Okay. Well, so it started about 15 years ago. And I was eating the standard English diet, which is, you know, meat and two vegetables. I grew up with my dad as a butcher, so I had plenty of meat and cheese and all those things. And then, so I was also an athlete, and I was reading a lot of books about mental conditioning and Tony Robbins books, and I came across Unlimited Power by Tony Robbins, and he talked about eating for energy, and it really just resonated and made immediate sense. So I made an overnight change and came home to my dad and said, I'm not eating meat anymore.
And I what just, did your dad think of that?
Yeah, he took it. He didn't really say much.
I bet it was a bit of a shock, I'd say.
Yeah, it was probably a little bit of a shock. But in the long term, he was inspired and became vegan, vegetarian himself, and now has grown lots of his own food and doing really, really good. So, yeah.
That's amazing in and of itself, isn't it?
Well, you have that influence on everybody that you meet, Philip.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I learned from that experience was really, it's you don't go around telling people what to do, because I did that a lot in the beginning. It's really just you have to live it and walk it, and you know, in every aspect. It's, you know, it doesn't matter how much you know. It's a matter of just totally being that inspiration and living that lifestyle, and then others will be inspired by your passion. So.
And that's one thing I will say about both of them, Philip and Susan, both when you meet them, which we have had the wonderful good fortune of meeting and include them in our friends now, but they just radiate health, don't they, Hanno?
They do. Very, very inspiring people. Now, for the benefit of our listeners, we have Philip and Susan Madeley on the line from California, and they are raw food vegans. And can you just describe to us what is raw food and what is live food?
Did you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
There was a big hesitation there.
I was going to say, did we lose them already? Okay. Yeah.
Well, there's many definitions.
Which one of you?
Raw food could be anything, but the general definition of raw and living foods, it's really talking about eating whole fresh foods, you know, fresh from the garden, fresh from just fresh and alive. So basically, like if you take like a green leafy vegetable and you know steam it down and cook it down, it's no longer a live food. But that fresh organic spinach out of the garden, that would be a living food. Mm-hmm. So it's still got its life force, its vibrancy, its energy, and then you're taking that energy into your body, because when you're eating food, it's more about the energy that you're taking in rather than, you know, I mean, there's some, of course, the nutrients are important, but it's that vibration, that frequency. Those plants are bringers of information to your body. So the more fresh and whole and alive you eat that food, the more of that information you're taking in, the more of that information from the divine. So that would be, how I would describe it, rather than on a physical level. It's more of a, there's more spirit to it, so.
Right. Yeah. And then.
All right. We're going to definitely get into that a little more. Let me ask Susan though, real quick in here, how you began with. You said you were a vegetarian first, and then switched over to a completely raw food diet. So if you could tell us how you started, and then also, could you explain to our audience the difference between a vegetarian, a vegan, and a somebody who's on a raw food diet?
Oh, that's a good question, and it actually does talk about my journey as well. I became a vegetarian when I was 19. I became aware that I was eating an animal when I was 11, maybe 10 or 11, and it freaked me out. So when I read Francis Moore Lepay's Diet for a Small Planet was the first that I became aware that one could live and without eating meat, because up to that point I thought you needed to eat meat to survive. So then I became a vegetarian. I was really passionate about it, passionate about helping animals, and I don't know, this image keeps coming to mind and I want to share it. So when I was in college, I would take speech classes, and I am not what you would call a vegan warrior, and one of the reasons is because when I was giving a speech, one of my key questions was, do you salivate at the sight of a deer? And when I asked that question, the horror in the eyes of the woman that was looking at me made me decide that I needed to be more compassionate to my audience as I talked about the vegan lifestyle. So vegetarianism, you're eating animal products. So you're eating cheese, you're eating eggs. Some people term it ovo-lacto if you're eating eggs and cheese. Some people just say vegetarian if you're eating cheese and dairy and eggs.
But no animal
parts. So
right.
At one point, my 15-year-old son said to me, who was vegan, he turned vegan when he was 14. He said to me, if you know what I know, you'd be vegan. And so I was just like, don't tell me yet. I'm not ready to give up my pizza. So after a couple of years of thinking about it, I finally asked him, and I realized that that compassion that I had for animals actually was almost equally, if not more important, to take into the vegan lifestyle, because and there's no really delicate way of putting it. The industry, especially in this country, and the industry in factories to make cheese and milk and to produce eggs, is tantamount to at least torturing animals. So eating the animal's flesh, you know you've killed it when you're eating the animal's product. You know you're torturing the animal, especially in this country. I mean, if you had your own chicken, that would be a different story. So, like my mother, when I was really little, used to say, you know, I was such a nice person, I wouldn't hurt an ant. And that's kind of how my personality is. And so the progression of this to live foods for me was when I finally took all of that compassion that I had for animals, and I applied it to myself. I included myself in that equation. So recognizing that live foods was the best way to take care of my body took me to that step.
Okay, I just want to make a note to our listeners. In the past few weeks, we have been having trouble with our connection, and I blame it on the solar flares. But in the event that we do lose you, we'll just call right back and we'll get right back on. So nobody think that the show's gone away if something happens. Okay?
Okay.
So let's just continue with that then. Go ahead.
Let me just ask before we move from that subject, Susan, because are you saying that a vegetarian will eat some animal product?
Not the flesh.
But not the flesh. Yeah, so you would eat cheese and eggs, for example. And then the vegan will not eat any of those at all, just purely vegetable-based diet entirely. And then the further differentiation, the live food is where everything you eat, there's nothing cooked. In other words, it's the fresh vegetable out of the garden or the fresh fruit. Am I correct in saying that?
And then and then with the living food, there's variances. You know, some people who do, 50% of their diet is raw food, and then 50% is cooked whole food. So, and it's really just a matter of finding that balance, and we can talk about that later.
I see.
Okay. Great. Okay, so with the two of you then, what are your personal health concerns? And if you could both answer the question, that'd be great.
So my personal health concerns. part of that I can say is that there might not be enough nutrition in my food, even eating whole live foods. Juices are a better way of getting more nutrition in. Then the cost of superfoods kind of concerns me, at least for myself and for others. Like, what superfoods I mean, like vitamin or green or even like MSM. I take MSM every day, and the reason I take that is to keep my body supple and to keep my bones strong and things like that. So I'm concerned about, is there enough nutrition in regular food, in a carrot or in lettuce and celery? So that's one of the things that I look at. And the other thing for myself would be, am I getting really good water? And how do I go about
it? Yeah, that's a concern around the planet, all right, with the water.
Right.
It's come up a lot, and we do know there's lots of water purifiers around, some claiming to be better than others, of course. But, we're of the opinion that everybody should have some sort of filtration system of some type to purify the water. So in your experiences, have you found something, in terms of a filter for water that you could recommend to people?
Well, Philip would probably be best to tell you that. We're very blessed because we're near Carlsbad Springs. So for ourselves, we can get fresh spring water without harming the planet or without changing the eco-environment. But Philip does.
Yeah, I mean, there's a constant debate about different types of water filters. Some people are into alkaline water, reverse osmosis, distillation. It's really just a matter of, doing your research and, if you're living in the city, you really need some type of multi-filtration system and energization. It's not just about filtering the water. It's about, clearing the memory from that water, and that might be vortex pipes. There's a lot involved, and it can be quite expensive. So,
Philip, talk to us a little bit about the memory imprint in water. We're getting off topic just a bit, but I think it's an important thing to say to people, because when you say that, I'm sure the majority of our listeners would not even be aware that memory or that water holds memory. So could you just explain that a little bit to our audience and about clearing it as well?
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people have heard of Emoto's work. Would you say that a lot of people have heard of Emoto's work?
Yes. Methods from water.
Yeah, which is basically like Emoto played different musics and put different words on water, and then took pictures of the crystals, and you could see significant differences in the shape and the structure of the crystals. When they were played beautiful music, positive energy, the crystals became out beautiful. So that energy was going into the water. So you could expand that out, and if pollution and pharmaceuticals are going into our water supply, that frequency of those different pharmaceuticals is found in the water. And it's been, I think there's some research done on, basically there's like the homeopathic, energies of, certain, birth control pills in tap water, because it's, it hasn't been cleared out. You know, the physical matter has been cleared out when it goes through the, you know, the filtration plants, the sewage cleanup plants, but that frequency hasn't been cleared out. So that energy then goes into our body and has an effect. So that's a key thing there.
Right. So how do people then? How do you clear the memory of all of those products and pollutants? The energetic memory is what we're talking about now. How do you clear that from water?
There's a variety of different strategies. The simplest would be is like just, you know, connecting with your water and doing a prayer over your water. You know, I mean, because, you know, that's the least expensive, and we are powerful beings, so we can, you know, alter that structure of the water by just, you know, praying with our water and giving thanks for our water. And
yeah,
it can be, you know, writing a powerful word, love, gratitude, and sticking it on your water bottle. That can be the simple method. And then you can get more advanced from that and, like, add in a pinch of, like, Himalayan or Celtic salt, which those salts are a crystal, and you put it into your water with love. You can surround plants around your water bottle. You can use magnets. And then you can get some more advanced where you put your water through vortex devices. And there's research that was done by a person called Victor Schauberger. Water is basically a living being. And this Victor Schauberger was an Austrian forestry worker, and he grew up in the forest just watching the water and how it spirals and bubbles and does a dance. And so what do we do with the water is we take it and we run it through straight pipes, and it loses its energy and ability to dance. So by, you know, spinning our water, we can kind of put that dance back into it, as it were. I don't know where all these words are coming from. We're having fun today.
Well, it's a wonderful explanation, because you could really apply that also to life in general, that life is a dance, and it is meant to be celebrated and enjoyed. But I love that concept. I love that explanation, because when you think that water takes up the majority of life on this planet, and the amount of water in our bodies is a huge percentage, and if we're not dancing in our lives and our lives are not joyful, and the water we're drinking, it does not have that energetic signature anymore. It's very clear why we could all be in a stagnant cesspool, for lack of a better phrase. So thank you for that. That was an incredible explanation.
But now, we're speaking with Susan and Philip Madeley from California. They are both masters in vegan live food nutrition. And if any of our listeners would like to call in, the telephone number is 805-292-0349. And we want to talk about all kinds of things relating to food today. We want to cover the subject of weight loss. We want to talk about supplements. We want to talk about organic. We want to talk about vitamins, or vitamins as they're known here in this country, and minerals, and also about children and children's diets. So let me ask you, Philip, what is the thing that you love the most about the live food vegan diet that both you and Susan use?
Well, I just want to expand out from the water concept that we just discussed.
He's stubborn, huh?
Go ahead.
Because it just made me see, you know, you made that connection, like, you know, all life is water, and then We're living these lives that are stagnant, you know, sedentary. We're sitting at computers and, you know, sitting in front of televisions and computers and things like that. And then the body becomes stagnant, and it's all about, health is about creating movement in the body. You know, like health and detox is about creating movement and flow. If any of our, you know, channels of detoxification are blocked, whether it's, you know, the colon, the bowel, or our skin, we're putting things on our skin that stop the skin's ability to breathe, or we're wearing clothing that doesn't allow our body to breathe, that flow and that energy and that dance is stopped. And then that comes right over to living foods. Living foods are fresh and whole. They have their fiber intact. And that's really the key, you know, more than just live foods. It's like the most important thing is having whole foods. You know, it was in the introduction in the world that's created the most problems is the Western diet that is, you know, refined white flour, white sugar, all the things that we've processed all of the nutrients out of the food. So the key is that whole living foods that just keep things moving in the body. We bring the food in, and naturally the body is able to extract the nutrients. You know, the whole digestive system is amazing when it's treated right. It's amazing what abuse we give it, and it still functions. But, you know, the key thing is really having, you know, healthy bowel movements every day. We talk about those. Because that's keeping that flow, you know, that energy coming in, releasing, coming in, releasing. It's like we breathe. It's like also the same with eating. It's like important that cycle is complete. So.
Well, that's a good answer. And it did lead right into why you would like a raw food diet. And how about you, Susan? Do you have the same opinion, or would you like to add to that?
Yeah, I'm listening to Philip, and I'm thinking as he's speaking. What for me? It's interesting because live food it means more than food to me, and I've learned so much since I've been on the live food path from people who really care about health and the nature, being in touch with nature. And I think that really brings the key into what live foods is about. And I think when you put live foods in your body, there's a transformation, which I've seen in a lot of people. I think you're taking the divine energy and putting it into your body in the way that it was meant to be put in, so it gets absorbed, and you're creating a oneness with life, I think. And for me, live food is spiritual. It's encompassing a lot of things, like Philip said. It's encompassing. Let me use a different word. It's including, like eating organic. It's including looking at things locally. It's including eating, you know, the good water that we were talking about. It's including recognizing what the sun does for us, what air does for us, keeping, getting good sleep, getting good rest. And even abstaining from food and fasting. So for me, it actually is
a spiritual path.
It's all encompassing. Yeah, it's not just food. It's way more than that.
Okay, so yeah. this makes me want to ask you both a question about consciousness. And, you know, I've read some of Gabriel Cousins' books, and he kind of puts it plainly when he comes out and says that when you eat a flesh-based diet and you eat all sorts of processed foods, he called that death consciousness. And he called living a raw diet, raw food, vegan diet, life consciousness. And he talks about that you're really making a choice in your consciousness between death and life. How would you comment on that? And how have you seen evidence of that in your own lives? Like, what has shifted in your consciousness from being live food vegans as opposed to when you were eating a flesh-based diet?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll go with a different direction and then come back. So we've been given this, so I was talking about consciousness. We've been given this, you know, this wonderful gift of a body. You know, our spirit has this body to interact with the world. And when we abuse this body, it's harder to interact with the world. You know, we have to use a lot more energy to be spiritual, to do our work in the world if we're not giving our body the right fuel or providing this temple with the right fuel. It's like we put the right gasoline in our car, you know, about putting these foods that allow that, you know, the energy to flow in our body, so we don't have to use energy to, like, we can eat anything, you know, we're spiritual beings, we can process anything through our bodies. People have eaten all sorts of, you know, poor quality choices, but it takes more energy. So if we're eating, you know, whole and foods, then we're able to focus on the spiritual, and the spiritual becomes easier. It just becomes part of life. And the shift I had was, like, it was an immediate shift in perception about the way I looked at the world. It just became clearer. Like, things became simpler, and it became, you know, more compassion came into my life. Just things started to shift. It's really hard to explain it in words, but I know a lot of people have gone through this when they've changed into, you know, eating and more of a whole food diet, and it encompasses lifestyle in terms of making choices about things you put on your body and how you wash yourself and all, you know, and chemicals you use in your clothes and things like that. So, but like this whole like giant shift opens up. It's like a big shift in perception, and I don't know how to really put that into words. So it's like an awakening happens. Just because you're feeding the body the right thing, and I think it's just like you. It's like I think what has Grable described. It's like an awakened normality. You wake up to how it should be, and it's like this is just normal living. And there's even been descriptions of like spiritual masters talking about, you know, people taking drugs, and their masters take the drugs and go, I don't feel anything from this, you know, because they. We are, you know, when our body's turned on and alive, we naturally create drugs. Deepak Chopra talks about this. All of the fancy drugs out there, our body's naturally creating those. So it's tapping into a natural high, and it's just like awakened normality. So,
mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, I knew there was a free way of lifestyle over there in California.
Okay, and how about you, Susan? Can you comment about your spirituality being a raw food vegan?
In how it felt, the shift between eating meat and eating live?
Yeah, or just what you've noticed in terms of your consciousness from being a flesh-eating person to a live plant-eating person.
You know, I guess I can go more into... I would like to, like, from going from vegetarian to vegan or vegan to live, because I stopped eating meat when I was 19, so that's a little difficult. And it also is difficult because living through life, I know that there is a continual awakening, or at least one that I've felt, and I would love to believe that that's what all human beings are exposed to as we go through our lives. It's almost like, though, moving back to childhood and innocence, it's almost like seeing possibility.
Can you get closer to, yeah.
The magic. Yeah. Almost, it's an awakening. For me, that's what it is. It's an awakening. And the more I stay in tune to that, the more I become aware of when I go to sleep and move automatically like a robot and when I'm awake. So I start to see more of when I'm moving automatically or when I'm awake, and I believe that it's like there is
we're on a bit of skip on the line, and Susan, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're coming across every second word, and this was the type of interference that we've been getting over the last few days, and we suspected maybe solar flare. Somebody else said it was Mercury retrograde and so on. So we apologize to our audience, but we're not hearing every word that Susan said to us.
Although she did. Make sure you're close enough to your mic, Susan, if you would. Okay, but we are, she did mention, though, the feeling of returning to the magic of life and the innocence of life as a child by being on a raw food diet. I find that interesting because, you know, innocence is an interesting word. For me, anyway, it means a state of harmlessness where you don't have harmful thoughts towards others. You don't have harmful intent. There's no maliciousness, no jealousy going on. And I could see, you know, when Philip was talking about the water and he was saying how the water holds memory, the same is probably true of animals. And when we eat animal flesh, we probably are taking on their traumas, certain things about their lives, and certainly their last memory of themselves is being butchered, which certainly can't be a good imprint for us to be consuming. So I like the whole idea of returning to that magic and innocence where, you know, you just don't have those thoughts or feelings in your body. And I think that's a wonderful explanation.
Oh, we're waiting for Philip and Susan to reconnect with us. I hear you. There's still a little skip there, Susan, though. While we're just waiting to get a good connection there, let us tell our audience that we're speaking with Susan and Philip Madeley from California. They're both vegan live food nutrition experts, and they have worked with Dr. Gabriel Cousins at the Tree of Life Center, and they have also worked with Health Force Nutritionals in California. So they live and walk their talk. They're both live food vegan practitioners, and they, Susan is a life coach also, where she empowers her clients to live this life, this vegan lifestyle. Now, let's just put another question that has just come in over the chat line to you, and it's about the eating of meat. And this person asks, what if they believe that their body needs the protein from meat and that they have that inner desire to constantly eat meat? How do you explain that? I mean, is it the case that the physical body actually needs meat or that it doesn't? Or is it different for everybody?
We haven't lost them, I hope.
I think we may have lost them.
Are you there, either one of you?
Okay, let's continue. We'll ask them to call in. Let's call in. Can you call back when you get a moment, please? And in the meantime, we'll continue our discussion here about the raw food diet, because we've embarked a little on that ourselves. Do you want to tell our listeners about the raw food class that we attended when we were in Ireland? Wasn't that really exciting?
It was. It was given by a woman who has a little cafe, actually, in Wicklow Town. Doesn't she? And we started going to her little cafe, and she'd make the most delicious raw food, vegan wraps and cheesecakes that were completely raw, and wonderful, wonderful desserts and wonderful combinations, even how to make cheese from cashews. So we decided we would go to her class. She was offering a 6-week course, and gosh, we learned so much. And every single thing, we had raw pizza, we had truffles, things that you think that you couldn't replace. You know,
and wasn't an amazing thing that she would sell and make the likes of cheesecake, but it wasn't cheese. But it was so delicious that you didn't miss any part of meat in that entire diet that she produced.
No.
And not only that, the other thing that I found very fascinating about that whole raw food concept was that with a little bit of preparation, you actually didn't need too much more work. There wasn't any more work involved in the preparation of it.
Well, just to remember, she did a lot of soaking of nuts ahead of time and beans.
Yes.
You have to remember to do that.
But aside from that, though, the actual preparation of the dishes, they were delicious, but without too much extra work.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Okay, we do believe that we have Philip and Susan Madeley back on the line from California. And if anyone wants to call in, they'll get us on 805-292-0349. Are you still there?
Yes, we're back.
Oh, great.
Great, great. Thank goodness.
Now, we've got another question that is, we've got a question that is huge in all around the world in people's minds, and that's the whole concept of weight loss. I mean, there are websites and there are searches all over the internet for weight loss schemes and weight loss products. How does weight loss fit in with the whole concept of being on a raw food or live food diet?
The weight loss that I experienced was pretty phenomenal. I was a junk food vegan when I became live food, and I lost 40 pounds within a year. My body started to the proportions of my body started to balance, and for me it's a simple no-brainer, and that is one of the things that does happen on a live food diet. Now, I'm a woman, and so the weight loss for women is more delightful than it is for men. Philip will address the male side of it. And I do know women who are fruitarian. I have seen that women who are eating more fruit on a live food diet do have more weight gain than women who are eating less fruit. I think, yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
So anyway.
Susan, that it happens naturally.
So for me, I can eat a lot of fat, and I still maintain a nice balanced weight. But when I do eat more things like bananas and things like that, then I do gain weight. To me, the easiest way to stay to balance your weight is to go on a live food diet.
And it's really about.
And what do you do with the sugar cravings?
But it's really about finding what's right for your body, you know. For that's what Susan's, you know, learned
right.
for her body,
right.
You know. You know, for somebody who's maybe an athlete or something, is probably going to eat more sugar. So it's really just about finding that balance.
Right.
And there, you know, you're gonna have, you know, we do need sugar. We need sugar in our body. So it's about finding that balance. You know, if we totally, you know, when we're with Gabriel Cousins at the Tree of Life. He has a diet called the Phase 1 diet, which is like the healing diet for people with, you know, cancer and diabetes and things like that, for helping to reverse those disease conditions where people have to be really, really strict. And what we notice is people really, really struggle with that because we do need, you know, some natural sugars from fruits coming into our bodies. So it's about finding that balance so you get just enough for your body without going crazy. You know, when you try and eliminate it completely, you're just gonna get out of balance. So it's better to just eat an apple and then, you know, keep moving forward. So
right, yeah, I think it's a gradual progression too.
Yeah.
When I first started on the live food diet, I ate a lot of dates,
mm-hmm.
and that was as I was coming off candy. You know, so
yeah, you need to think you can have something sweet.
Right, and now I wouldn't eat a date. I mean, I might take a bite of a date, but to eat a date seems really excessive to me. So I think you naturally start to balance. And I think part of that is being kind to yourself and allowing your body to gradually find its own center, and it will do that as you get away from eating for as you get more towards eating for nourishment, your body will start to give you different signals on what you want to eat or what's good for it.
I think probably the biggest message for this audience is really moving away from, you know, the processed sugars that come in, you know, in the kind of the Western diet, and then incorporate more fresh berries and things like that, and eating those natural sugars. Because that's a huge shift, because with those natural sugars, you get, especially berries, you're getting a lot of, you know, anti-disease nutrients. So it's really just learning to find that balance for your own body. and just moving through that and connected into weight loss, it's really just like it's a natural progression when you eat live foods. You know, a lot of people in the weight loss industry is all about creating this diet and this diet plan
with
fresh living foods. It's just about bringing in lots of juices and greens and just really just providing your body with the nutrients, and it's more of a slow and steady wins the race approach.
Lifestyle change.
It's not this sudden, like, I'm going to lose all this weight overnight because I did this, you know, diet that starved my body of nutrients. It's I provided my body with nutrients, and as it was ready, it started to, you know, it started to lose some of that excess weight that it no longer needed, and it might take a lot longer, but it's done in a healthy way. And you can speed that up by doing detoxes such as fasting and liver flushes and go into a whole other thing. But it's like it's really listening to your body and going with the flow of your own body.
And you'll love carrots.
Okay, let me ask you, because right when we lost you before, Ahanu was presenting the question about, you know, what about the people who feel that they need meat? You know, they would say, oh, my body needs meat. I crave meat. And, of course, then there's the blood type diet that actually encourages certain blood types to eat a meat-based diet. So can you address that fear and concern that people have if they give up their meat, which they feel they so desperately need?
Well, on the there's so many levels to this question. The first level may be for the person who wants to still eat meat, you know, okay, you know, continue to eat meat, but make the shift where your foundation of your diet is fresh whole fruits and vegetables. Like you have your meat and but it's just like a little amount, you know, like studies around the world of people who've eaten meat and been healthy has been like small amounts, less than 10% of their diet has been meat, but they've incorporated lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. And pretty much like everybody is, you know, in agreement that, you know, fresh whole fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, sprouts, are the healthy foundation for any diet. So that's like the first step of not like, oh, I'm not allowed this. Because as soon as you start to say, I'm not allowed to eat something, you're going to crave it even more. Whereas you like make this shift, like, what can I add into my diet? What healthy foods? Okay, I can add in, I can add in vitamin or green. I can add in green leafy vegetables. I can add in tomatoes. I can add in carrots. I can add in berries. I can add in some superfoods like spirulina. So you start to add these things in, and then you go back to that intuition. You listen to your body, and your body starts to guide you and starts to say, oh, wow, I've tried all these different foods. A lot of the mistakes, you know, the mistakes that people make when they get onto to live foods is they get into this whole restriction, like, oh, I can only eat lettuce and carrots and salads and then they really get bored with it. And then after a while, their body kicks in and suddenly they start to crave the old foods as their body is detoxifying and letting go of the toxins. They start to crave those old things again. But if you shift that energy around, like I'm adding things in, then naturally, you know, you start to let go of those other things. And that's how I observed it with my father when, you know, he was still eating meat. But the first shift I helped him transition was, you know, okay, you're going to eat your meat, but eat it with a salad. You know, eat it with fresh vegetables. And it was actually, I got him into food combining. So I was like, don't eat meat and potatoes because that's not the best combination of protein and carbohydrate. So what he would do, he would eat the meat and he would eat a big salad. And eventually, like, the salads got bigger and bigger and the meat amount got less and less. But it was natural. He didn't really even think about it. And soon he was like, oh, wow, I don't need this anymore. Because
That's great.
So then you start to see this question that comes for everyone who chooses not to eat meat is where do you get your protein? And the protein comes from variety of whole plant foods. Where does the cow get its protein? It gets it from green leafy vegetables. The same with the gorilla. It gets it from green leafy vegetables and plants. So it's a matter of eating high quality plants to get our variety of protein, which is made up of amino acids. So those amino acids are found in the plants, there are specific proteins that can be very helpful for somebody transitioning, and just somebody for overall who's maybe has higher protein needs, and they can be things like spirulina, which is a blue-green algae, and it's like the highest source of protein on the planet, and it's over 70% protein, and that's a wild algae. There can be things like hemp, again, high in protein, green leafy vegetables, certain nuts and seeds can be high in protein. So it's about getting that variety in your diet.
Yeah, and I would also say, too, that when someone feels like they're craving protein meat, they may be craving protein, they may be wanting fats. Good fats are really, really important. They may be wanting salt. So there's lots of things that we interpret as wanting meat. I found that fats have been my most delightful food since I left the Tree of Life and started figuring out what to eat on my own. And by that I mean good olive oil in my good nuts and seeds, good avocado. And so when I thought it was protein, I was eating more spirulina, more chlorella, and things that had high protein, and that really wasn't doing it for me. When I started to add the fat, then I realized that that's what I really was craving.
Yeah, let's talk about fat
Talk to me really quick too, Susan, about the difference between men and women in terms of that need for fat. Is there a difference between men and women?
There are differences in terms of the woman's body requires more fat. On studies of cholesterol, there have been findings that women who have cholesterol, say, below 170, but above, like, say, 120, are actually having a healthier lifespan. And the theory that's becoming prominent is that we are meant to hold more body fat. And that is something that keeps our hormones in balance. It's something that keeps our, the hormone balance is important for everything, for your mental health, for your physical health, for your reproductive system. So, yeah, I think women need to stop being afraid of fat.
I mean, there's that projection of, like, woman needs...
Let me just...
Go ahead.
Sorry, Philip. Let me just guide the conversation here a little bit, because it's hard to believe, but we've already been discussing these issues for over an hour. And in the last half hour that we have left, we really do want to cover some very important things that are on people's minds these days, like children, feeding children their vegetables, and of course eating a good diet during pregnancy. But one of the things that you mentioned a little while ago was, along with all the other physical benefits of eating a live food diet, you mentioned about that return to innocence, that spiritual change that takes place, and along with, of course, gentle weight loss that will be part of it. But could you address the difficulties that families have with feeding young children? And let me just tell you a little sideline of my own. I remember being vegetarian when my children were very, very small, and I actually had to abandon my efforts at one point because it was so difficult to cook separate meals for me as a vegetarian, and the children were insisting on eating their chicken nuggets and their various other fast food preparations. And since then, they've changed, of course, as they've grown up and they've realized the benefits of the raw food diet. But at that time, I personally had great difficulty trying to keep us all on track, as I saw it. What difficulties have you encountered with feeding children, and what advice would you give to parents with young children?
Yeah, well, I totally understand where you're coming from. The part of the issue is like this progression, you know, where if the parent and their parents have eaten, you know, junk food, the Western diet, that really passes on to the child, you know. There's been I have some of my friends who have direct experience where they've, you know, gone through one pregnancy eating really, really healthy, and maybe their first pregnancy they ate not so healthy, and the child that comes out that was, you know, through the pregnancy where the parent was eating lots of healthy green foods and whole foods actually craves more of those whole foods. So it's there's so much more to this question. And then once, you know, children have got a taste for these junk foods, whether it's, you know, they're being fed formula, which is basically just pure sugar and really unhealthy fats, is like that craving that is kind of in their genetic programming, and that's what they start to crave. And so it can be really, really hard for parents, you know, trying to make a change in a child's diet, because their body is like, that's what I need. And there's so many emotions they're growing up, but it's kind of like been programmed in. You know, we're very susceptible to programming, you know, between birth and 6 years old. So whatever kind of happens in that period is what's going to kind of set the precedent for our life. And that's, yeah, so.
Well, Just the other day, I was having lunch with my son, who is at UCLA, and he told me, he works in public health, and he told me that there are studies coming out now that are saying that especially the younger children, that they've got a natural aversion to new tastes, that aversion to new tastes. So if something is and they're tasting it, they have a natural inclination not to have a new taste. So when we're giving our children the bland foods and they get a new taste, their first reaction is their body saying, is this good for me? And so while it seems like they're rejecting something that's good for them, they're actually their body is actually going through a process of learning whether that food's good for them or not. So the studies are showing that repeated exposure to good foods, once a child is repeated several times, that their body starts to recognize it as healthy. So that's one thing that I've learned.
You can expand that out, and it start off with like really, really small amounts of those healthy foods.
Right.
So it kind of kicks like the healthy cells in to go, oh, this is good food. I mean,
It's not hopeless.
Yeah.
You can keep re-exposing. If you're pregnant and if your child is just starting out, you know, you've got a really good edge, because then you can start to eat your greens, drink superfoods like vitamin or green while you're pregnant, and then when you start giving your baby its food, start giving it its greens and its healthy foods, the things that you want it to eat as a growing adult, as a growing child. So if you've got that edge of starting right off, there are also studies that show that whatever the child has been used to as in the womb and beyond, that child will be naturally attracted. So that when a woman is pregnant, when the family is just starting out, you've got a great advantage of overcoming the lifestyle that you may have been brought up in, and recreating a healthy lifestyle for your child. And for me, that's a very hopeful sign that we can start to create a whole planetary evolution where humans are naturally inclined to eating foods that are best for their body.
Now we're speaking, just a second, Philip, I just want to tell our listeners that we're speaking with Susan and Philip Madeley from sunny California, and they are live food nutritionists. Do give out your contact details, Philip, how people can get in touch with you, because you're giving some very, very practical advice to parents of young children, to athletes, to people who are basically looking for that transition, and indeed that whole spiritual sector that's looking for that return to innocence. Give out your contact details there for us.
Well, the best way to get hold of us, you know, is through Susan's coaching website, which is susanmillercoaching.com. And you can write us an email on the contact form, and our phone number's on that website too. So SusanMillerCoaching.com, best place.
Great.
Great. Let's if we could switch over to the live food diet for athletes, because I know, like my son, for example, he's always been a small fry. He's always been a bit small, and I tried to talk to him when I was visiting him last time about switching over to a plant-based protein powder, which Health Force Nutritionals does sell, and he was convinced that he would not bulk up enough unless he drank the protein powder with all the whey in it. So could you talk to us a little bit about athletes and how things that you know about could help athletes?
Okay. My brain was still on the chill.
I know. We're just going to have you back on the show. But
thinking about
this. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm gonna transition it again. Okay.
Go ahead.
Thing with like the children is really creating beautiful foods, you know, beautiful displays, and it goes back to when we first started in the interview was like being that inspiring influence. So you're not like trying to force these foods down your child. It's about you create these beautiful displays on the table. Your food looks beautiful. Children like to see beauty, so they're going to get more excited. Involve them in the preparation process. All of those things are things that we can get into.
Yeah.
So I just want to finish that point.
Play with
them. That's a very good point. Yeah, very good point.
So then moving on to athletes, there's some phenomenal athletes who do vegan foods, live foods, and you can look up some of those people. There's a raw food athlete called Tim Van Orden. There's a great athlete called Brendan Brazier, who's a vegan. And these are ultra-marathon runner athletes. And then there's also bodybuilders like like Robert Cheek. And he's like really, really hardcore athlete. Other people like Stephen Arlen or Thor. He has a website, rawpower.com. And he's like very bulked up, you know, athlete. In terms of athletics, I'm more in kind of the endurance, so I go for my body is more of a thinner build, and that's just another point, you know, it's like, what is your body type? If your body type isn't meant to be, like, bulky, you know, I'm a long, thin guy, and I do better with, like, endurance-type sports, and I'm really into mountain biking. I used to be a kayaker, so it's really just a matter of knowing your body rather than, like, forcing it to bulk up using a lot of these, like, kind of supplements that are toxic in the weight, the bodybuilding industry, or even as extreme as steroids and things like that, that bulk the body up, you know, in a toxic way. A lot of like that bulk is actually the body holding water that is, you know, to kind of dilute some of those toxins that are going in. So somebody eating a vegan or a plant-based diet, it's going to be a little bit slimmer. They're not going to be as bulky, but they're going to have just as much strength. So it's a matter of, like you have to go through a shift in perception in terms of, like, what's naturally, like a lateral lean muscle on the body rather than, like, this, I want to be really, really bulky. So, mm-hmm. like, I feel that there's a shift. And you can, if it's right for your body type, maybe you can bulk up a certain amount. And which moves on to, like, well, maybe I'll stop there and I'll let you comment. Are you there?
Okay, I thought you were waiting for Susan. Okay. No, those are all very, very good points. And what I have to chuckle about, Philip, is as you're speaking about that, your voice has become so animated. So it's obviously a point that you find very important. So I'm glad to hear you say that, because I, especially about the other types of things that people are using that I know isn't really, you know, necessarily good for them. So would you have to comment, Ahanu?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to say that neither Angel Rose nor myself are doctors, so we don't want to have anybody get the impression that we're prescribing some kind of a lifestyle change on them. It's not at all. This program is for entertainment purposes only. But having said that, we are delighted to be able to bring Susan and Philip Madeley on the program so as to spread this important message of this return to innocence, this growth of awareness that people are having, and how it can start by simply changing your diet to something that's more healthy and more aware of their entire environment. And live food seems to be the way to go. So we want to ask another question at this point in time now, in the last 20 minutes that we have left. And it's about, how do people get hold of this superfood that you mentioned earlier on? You mentioned Vitamineral Green.
Well, I think they can get it from you.
They can. Yes, they can. Okay. But could you talk a little bit about the company, Philip, and the Health Force products, because their products include a lot more than Vitamineral Green. So could you tell us some of the best products that you could recommend from there, or let's say somebody who might be considering transitioning from a flesh diet over to a vegetarian even, or in this whole process, how can they begin to supplement their diets with some good nutrition if they're not ready to go completely raw food? What
Absolutely.
Are the important products that you think?
Yeah. Well, for me to talk about the products, I have to mention the founder of the company, Dr. James Sheridan, who is a vegan. He's been vegan for 25 years now, a naturopath, and he's just this bundle of infinite passion that's behind his company. He just believes in really, really helping people. He's got a lot of energy. He's into fitness. He's very muscular. He has a gym in his home. He's just very fit, and he walks the talk. And that's what inspired me to, you know, connect with the company and, you know, and follow through and work with Health Force Nutritionals that can be found at healthforce.com. We've got a lot of education on our website. But this is so much passion behind those products. A lot of energy goes into them, and many of them are basically formulations of different plant foods. There's no isolates. There's no synthetics. You know, a lot of multivitamins are just made, you know, with ground up rocks and things like that, or isolated in labs. These are all like whole foods, dried at low temperatures, ground into a powder that's just really, really absorbable. And, you know, it's got that whole fiber intact. So it's really just like that passion for integrity and quality that inspires me about the company. And some of the key products are, the foundational product, as I've mentioned a few times, is Vitamineral Green, which is a blend of greens, algae, enzymes, and probiotics. And it's what started the company 20 years ago, and it's basically a whole food multivitamin. And what's great about that is it's got all the natural cofactors in the plant. So rather than just focus on, okay, I'm going to get X amount of magnesium, calcium, zinc, it's what's provided in these high nutrient-dense plants like nettle, which is a wild food, or spirulina, or chlorella, or horsetail. All these plants have they have those minerals, but they also have the naturally occurring cofactors that enable our bodies to absorb and take in those minerals and utilize them correctly. And then if our bodies don't need them, you know, we flush them out because they're plant-based, rather than like isolated nutrients, which if our body can't use them, they end up accumulating in the body and going into fat cells or getting kind of stuck in the body. So that's like the foundational food. The secondary food that Dr. Sheridan recommends for everyone is a product called Vitamineral Earth, and it's spelled like the planet Earth, E-A-R-T-H. And it's a blend of bark, roots, and herbs that's very soothing for the digestive system, very grounding. And the common way to take that product is kind of like a soup. So it's like an healing soup. You know, like traditionally a native diet or traditional diet has always been like a nice healing broth. And that's like the foundation of that. It's like this healing herbal broth that's just really, really delicious. So those two products would be like the kind of two key products that Dr. Sheridan would recommend to everyone. The one other I would add to the would be Liver Rescue, which is a blend of four herbs, one being milk thistle, which really support our livers. And our livers work so hard in the modern world with all the pollutants and pharmaceuticals and chemicals that our livers are working extra hard. So by supporting our liver, we're able to, you know, help it deal with that and also help us to better absorb nutrients from our food. So
Right, thank you. And for our listeners, you can find those Health Force products on our Turtle Island website. The actual web address is turtleislandsurvival.com. That's turtleislandsurvival.com. The exception to that is if you live in Ireland, our website is holistic.ie. That's for Ireland, holistic.ie. And any of those products that you want to research from Health Force is also on the website. There'll be little links that'll take you over to all of the products that give you a wonderful explanation of the products and how they're made. Go ahead, Ahana.
Okay, now we've got just 15 minutes left, and we want to hear from Susan because we understand from her bio that you are a health coach. Can you explain to our listener, Susan, what a health coach is and what can people expect from contacting you and from coaching with you?
Thank you. I have been classically trained as a clinical psychologist as well as my nutritional background and also as a life coach, which means that I'm good with helping others to empower themselves in all areas, including nutrition. So I'm helping them to understand their divine plan, to work with their dreams and manifest them. And as you've heard me speak, I see nutrition and vegan live foods as a foundation for life. So that's how it comes into my coaching practice. Most coaching relationships that I've had or that I do have, we can get through things pretty quickly, and I have a little package deal that I have on my website, which I will add a free session for anybody who calls and mentions the program. So within
Great.
Six sessions, you probably are ready to spin off and go out on your own and take the tools that I can give you in that length of time. So that's basically.
Would you please give your website again, Susan.
Okay, that would be SusanMillerCoaching.com. Susan, SusanMiller, coaching, coaching.com. And I have a question, too, or I have a comment. I was wondering, Kevin, as we were talking about nationality, I just thought I would let you know that.
Yes?
Two Irish potatoes were sitting on a cutting board. And one Irish potato said to the other, "I'm about to change my nationality." And the other Irish potato said, "How?" "By becoming French fries."
I see. cute. Okay, that's very cute. Very cute. I love humor. Let's talk really quickly, too, about staying on a live vegan diet in the cold climates. Because, everybody usually like something warm and comforting in the winter. So how does the raw food diet fit into that?
Well, you can totally eat warm foods. It's like you can make warm soups. You can warm them at low temperatures. It depends, like we mentioned already, it depends on what level of a raw food diet, whether you're, for some people, they find that just a 50% live food diet and 50% whole cooked foods is what works for them in the long term. Dr. Sheridan's, he's more into like eating, some cooked whole foods. I do an exclusive raw food diet. I found that works well for my body.
So finger temperature.
Yeah, but I will warm things up. I will, make a warm soup out of the earth that I mentioned. And that works really well for me. So, it's just a matter of finding that balance. But it is okay to eat warm foods. And and the Chinese medicine would agree with this. A lot of times they say, oh, you can't be a raw foodist because, you know, like the cold food is bad for you. But, you know, you can eat foods at room temperature, or you can make hot teas. You can use certain spices like cayenne and ginger, which can help to warm up the body. And then it goes into healthy circulation. You know, if your circulation is poor, then it may be nothing to do with the food. It may be that you're struggling, your body's like clogged up, so then you may be looking at detox and allowing the body to flow better, as we mentioned earlier.
I have a great coconut noodle soup recipe that takes me through the winter.
Really nice. Wow. How do we get that?
How do you get that? Get that, Phyllis?
Yes. How do we get that recipe?
We'll put it on the website.
Okay.
We'll put a little blog up of a couple of recipes, because we have a great sour cream recipe.
And we'll
have a blog up by tomorrow.
Okay. Good.
With a couple of great
recipes. Okay, and this will this be on Susan's website?
Yeah.
SusanMillerCoaching.com. SusanMillerCoaching.com.
Great, yummy, yummy, yummy.
All right.
And also, wait, she also has a great recipe for chia jam. Can you cool that in there, Susan?
Okay, I will. I will. Chia.
Okay.
Chia is
jam. All right, we're speaking with Susan and Philip Madeley from California, and they are dedicated to vibrant living. They are masters in vegan live food nutrition, and they can be contacted at SusanMillerCoaching.com. We've had fantastic discussions today. We've covered all kinds of things like living on a live food diet. We've covered the health advantages. We've talked about supplements. We've talked about eating a vegan diet in cold climates. We've talked about the vitamins and minerals. We've talked about the being pregnant while on a raw food diet and coping with children and helping them, introducing them to the raw food and live food diet. We've covered a lot of things. One of the things that we haven't covered is your master's thesis that you did. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what were the most significant findings?
That's a good question, and that is really important for support to parents who are working towards the lifestyle of the live food vegan lifestyle. We did survey the pregnancy and birth of over 100 children, and we had significant findings comparing our children to children all over the world and comparing our children to children in the U.S. The finding that we have is that our children are taller and leaner. And the taller is really important because one of the things, especially with the D3 issue coming up in the media these days, and the D issue, a lot of studies are being quoted that vegan mothers or vegan pregnant mothers are not giving their babies as much D3 in the milk. But what we're finding is that our babies are coming out taller, which means that their bones are growing normally and actually super normally. Thank you for asking.
That's very significant.
It is very important, yes. I wish I'd known you years ago when I was pregnant for my children.
Me too.
I know. I mean, this is the thing you find out, but it's good news for anybody who is an up-and-coming mother and is really considering how to raise their children in a raw food vegan world. Okay, so real quick, because we have 5 minutes left, I hate that the time's going so quick, and we will have you both on again to talk about some of these things in more detail. But really quickly, could you both comment for us on the diabetic program that you did help with at the Tree of Life? Because I'm certain there's lots of diabetics who are not aware that that disease can be significantly helped with the support of a raw food diet. Can you comment on that for us?
It's a big question. You know, we're not doctors or physicians, so, you know, we can't give advice to diabetics. But Dr. Cousins, who we worked with, has written a book called Reversing Diabetes.
And he's got a new one coming out, too.
Yeah.
On the same subject.
He has got a new book. Cool. But basically, like, I mean, mainstream doctors will agree that diet, you know, can help, you know, control diabetes. So it's really just a matter of, you know, following that and then just doing some more research, reading the book Reversing Diabetes, and starting to incorporate more plant foods into the diet. There are people who have been inspired by the book, which also was inspired by a movie that was run called
Raw for 30 Days.
Raw for 30 Days, reversing, I think there is a cure for diabetes or something like that. Raw for 30 Days. Where like six mainstream people came to the Tree of Life, ran through the program of eating whole foods, learned about lifestyle, learned about whole foods, and significantly either got totally off their insulin or significantly dropped their insulin needs. But there are some supplements included, like enzymes, things to support regeneration of the pancreas. But you're just overall making simple changes, getting away from the processed white sugars, getting into natural sugars and natural foods, will make a significant, you know, shift for, you know, people who have, you know, diabetes or hyperglycemia, of helping to balance their bodies out naturally.
Yeah, for me, it's a passion that I've seen, and that is that food can heal mostly. Food heals, and, you know, good food heals. And I've seen it happen where I've seen I was there when they were doing the movie on the diabetic studies, and I've seen people who were so totally empowered by seeing that within a week they could get off insulin. So it is pretty, you could pretty much solidly say that someone going on a live food diet and getting off junk food can cure their diabetes. That's actually a fact.
Yeah.
And that's a fact that I think people will become more familiar with as more and more people heal themselves through their diet.
And it's really important to get guidance. You know, if anyone who's diabetic and is listening, don't just suddenly go live food and drop your insulin. Make sure you do your research and get support of places like Gabriel Cousins. And there are many actually plant-based vegan people teaching about reversing diabetes now. So it's really important to get that guidance, to get that support, whether it's through a coach like Susan, or whether it's through going to a center like Gabriel Cousins' center. That guidance is important in making that transition.
Yeah, I think not to make the problem sound simple, and yet I think that it's a threefold problem. It's diet, it's social, and the cultural climate that we're in promotes diabetes. And
Yeah, unfortunately, we're really running out of time, and I want to thank you both for coming on, and I'm going to turn the mic over to Ahanu. We will have you on again, and I do know, Susan, that you did promise me the name of a center up near in North Carolina somewhere, so I'll wait for that.
Okay.
We had the pleasure today of speaking with Susan and Philip Madeley, who are vegan live food nutritionists, and they can be contacted on their website at susanmillercoaching.com. They did promise that they would, and we'll hold you to it, post those beautiful raw food recipes on that website, susanmillercoaching.com, tomorrow. And if any of our listeners want to get hold of Vitamineral Green and Vitamineral Earth products from Health Force, you can find them on our website at turtleislandsurvival.com, or indeed Health Force. com. If anybody wants to contact Angale Rose, you'll contact her at angalerose@angalerose.com. That's AngealRose.com. Philip and Susan, it's been an absolute pleasure. We appreciate you coming on today. Your knowledge and your information is an inspiration, and we look forward to that return to innocence to ourselves and our listeners. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, too. We love both of you. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.